This story is going to sound crazy, but every word is true. My wife and I have been married for 8 years. No kids yet, but maybe someday. I work in IT and Samantha's a teacher. Not the type to make up stories or see things that aren't there. We'd been saving up for years to buy a piece of land to build our dream house. Finally found this perfect spot in Northern California, right in the heart of the Redwoods. Beautiful, secluded, just the kind of place we wanted. It's near this little town called Oreck, not far from the coast. You've probably never heard of it. Anyway, we head out there one weekend to check out the land, map out where we're going to build, that kind of stuff. It's a gorgeous day, I remember as well. We're walking through the woods, talking about where we'll put the kitchen, how big the deck should be, that sort of thing. And then, out of nowhere, we hear this weird noise. It's this deep, low sound. Kind of like a moan, but not exactly. I look at Samantha, and she's got this puzzled look on her face. We stop walking and just listen. There it is again, that sound. Only now it's closer. We're standing there trying to figure out what it could be. We're not exactly experts on wildlife, so we're just guessing. Now, the trees in this part of the woods are super thick, so you can't see very far ahead. We're squinting, trying to see if there's anything moving between the trees. That's when we see it. This huge figure, standing maybe 30 yards away from us. It's covered in hair, dark brown, almost black. It's standing on two legs, like a person, but it's no person. It's easily over 7 feet tall. Samantha grabs my arm, tight. Neither of us can believe what we're seeing. It's just standing there, looking at us. I remember thinking it's got to be a person that we are mistaking for a creature. But deep down, I know it's not. The way it's standing, the size of it, it's too real. The creature, or whatever it is, doesn't move. Just stands there looking the other way, but turning its head slowly. It finally turns enough that it sees us, but nothing at all happens. And then, as if it decides we're not a threat, or maybe not interesting, it turns and walks away. Just like that, it moves gently. And one moment it's there, the next it's gone, blending into the trees. Samantha and I are still standing there, not moving, not speaking. Finally, she looks at me and asks if I saw it clearly. I just nod. We're both shaken up. In my mind, I'm thinking, was it a Sasquatch? It couldn't be, right? But what else could it be? We decide we've had enough exploring for one day. As we make our way back to the car, the silence between us is heavy. It's like neither of us wants to be the first to say what we're thinking. We get into the car, and I start the engine, but neither of us is in a hurry to leave. We just sit there, staring out at the forest. Finally, Samantha breaks the silence. That was a Sasquatch, wasn't it? She asks, her voice barely above a whisper. I can only nod. What else could it be? Sure, I've heard stories, seen those TV shows, but I never really believed. Not until now. We start talking then, trying to rationalize what we saw. Maybe it was something else. But we both know it's not true. Normal animals don't walk like that, don't look like that. This was something else. Something neither of us has ever seen before. The drive back to our place is quiet, both of us lost in our thoughts. Every now and then, one of us would start to say something, then stop. What can you say after seeing something like that? When we get home, we go straight to the internet. We spend hours looking up Sasquatch sightings, trying to find anything that sounds like what we saw. There are a lot of stories, some of them not far from where we were. It's a bit comforting, I guess, knowing we're not the only ones who've seen something. But the more we read, the more unsettled we become. There are so many stories, so many sightings, and yet it's all treated like a big joke. How can so many people see something, and still, it's not taken seriously? We talk about going back, maybe trying to see it again. The next few days are weird. We try to go about our lives, but it's like there's this cloud hanging over us. We're distracted, jumpy. Every little noise makes us jump. It's like we're waiting for the other to suggest going back. And we're not really talking to anyone else about it. But it's hard, keeping something like that a secret. It feels like it's always there, just under the surface, waiting to come out. And I keep thinking about that land, our dream home. Can we still build it there, knowing what's out in those woods? Samantha and I had long conversations every night, going over every detail. We even started having dreams about it, or at least I did. I'd wake up in the middle of the night, heart racing, feeling like it was standing right outside our window, or worse yet, next to our bed. A few weeks go by and we're still on edge, but life has to go on, right? We've got this piece of land, and we've got plans. We can't just abandon everything because of one weird encounter. So we decide to go back. I know it sounds crazy, but we had to see it again. We drive up there again, this time with a bit more caution. We tell ourselves we're just going to look at the land, make some plans, nothing more. But I think both of us are hoping, maybe even expecting, to see it again. We get there, and everything looks the same, peaceful and quiet. We start walking around, pointing out where we'd put this and that. But it's different. We're constantly looking over our shoulders, listening for any sound out of the ordinary. Hours pass, and there's no sign of anything, nothing to suggest it was ever even there. I'm not sure if I'm relieved or disappointed. It's confusing, feeling both at the same time. We're about to head back when Samantha grabs my arm. She's staring at something in the trees. I look, and there it is, the Sasquatch, standing just at the edge of the woods, watching us. It's farther away this time, but it's definitely the same creature. This time I can see it more clearly. It's tall, incredibly tall, with arms that hang down past its knees. Its face is partly covered in hair, but I can see its eyes. Then, just like last time, it turns and walks away, disappearing into the forest. We don't say much on the drive back. We saw it again, and we're both thinking about it. It's real as anything. And now we have to decide what to do about our land, our dream. Do we build there, knowing what's out in those woods, or do we give up on it? That's where we're at now, stuck in this limbo. We haven't made a decision yet. It's hard, knowing there's something out there, something unknown and wild. And that's the story, as crazy as it sounds. A real-life Sasquatch encounter, not once, but twice. Makes you wonder what else is out there, doesn't it? I'm writing this to let you all know about something that happened to us while we were building our tiny house out here in Utah. It's something right out of a cryptid story, and I still can't wrap my head around it. We bought this beautiful 3-acre plot in Utah for our dream of living minimally in a tiny house. We planned to grow a garden and be as self-sustainable as possible. We both grew up on farms and so had some decent skills for getting this done. It's just me and my wife, and we've always been these outdoorsy types. The place where we were is pretty remote, surrounded by thick woods and with this big, open sky above. We started this project of building our tiny house a few months back, and had been doing it almost every day since. It was tough, but man, it was worth it. So, this happened like 2 weeks ago. We had just finished up for the day, and it was getting dark. We were sitting outside. We had built a fire and were having a couple of beers, and just enjoying the peace. That's when it started. We heard this sound that was unusual for the area. It was this rumble coming from the edge of the woods. At first, we thought it might be a bear, and so we gathered up any food that was around and prepared ourselves to get in the truck if we needed to. But the sound was confusing. It was more, I don't know, sinister? Anyway, we tried to not panic at first and just listened and watched. We talked softly and tried to go about our evening, but it wasn't long before we saw it. It was massive, easily the size of a large bear, but it was not a bear. It had this thick black fur, and its eyes were glowing red, like actually glowing. It was standing just at the edge of the forest, and it seemed to be circling us and checking us out from every direction. We were both completely still. We had stopped talking but had come close together, and were nudging each other to try and send messages to each other. We would later confirm with each other that the creature really had this presence about it, like it was more than just an animal. It felt, I don't know, otherworldly. It started moving towards us, slowly moving out of the trees and into the clearing where we were. Its movements were eerily silent for something of its size. We were scared out of our minds. I mean, what do you even do in a situation like that? We were so far out, no one would hear us if we screamed, and our cell phone didn't work out here either. And just when it got close enough that we could see its features more clearly, it stopped. Its eyes were flickering all over the clearing, looking at us, at the construction, the fire, all of it. Its fur was so dark, it seemed to absorb the light around it, and its muscular frame was evident even under the thick coat. It continued to stand there, just a stone's throw away from us. I kept thinking that the darkness of its fur made the glowing red of its eyes even more pronounced, like burning coals in a pitch black room. That's what my brain was registering, the way its eyes and its fur were complete opposites. Weird how your brain works sometimes. Also, it was the kind of size that makes you realize just how small and vulnerable you are, how nature is always in charge when it comes right down to it. Its shoulders were broad and hulking, muscles rippling under that thick coat with every subtle movement it made. It was like looking at a creature that was built for power, an apex predator. This wasn't a scrawny, skulking beast. It was robust, well-fed, and its physique was just intimidating. The way it carried itself, there was a sort of grace to it, a predatory elegance. You could tell it was used to being the biggest, baddest thing in the woods. For something that big to move so quietly, so effortlessly, it was unnerving. It didn't match up with anything natural. Animals that size, they make noise when they move. They break twigs. They rustle leaves. You can feel their steps on the ground. But this thing, it was like it was moving above the ground, barely disturbing the air around it. And then it retreated back into the darkness of the forest. I felt a mix of relief and disbelief. The silence that followed was almost as intense as the encounter itself. My wife and I looked at each other, our expressions a mix of fear and wonder. We didn't say anything for a long time. Just listen to the now seemingly louder sounds of the night. Believe it or not, we stayed out there, but the days that followed were filled with a strange tension. We continued our work on the tiny house, but our conversations often drifted back to that night. In the end, we never saw the creature again. But the memory of that encounter is a strong memory for both of us. Now our tiny house stands completed, and we're happy with how it turned out. But every now and then, when it gets dark, we find ourselves gazing into the forest, half expecting to catch a glimpse of those glowing red eyes or to hear the soft, ghostly steps of the hellhound that visited us that unforgettable night. So, I went for a walk the other day. Nothing out of the ordinary, just me and my Labrador Max, making our way down this trail we've been down like a million times before. It's out by Lake Thunderbird, that big reservoir in Norman, Oklahoma. Been living here most of my life and I thought I had seen it all. But this day, well, let me tell you, I realized I hadn't. I'm an average Jane, not really the type to attract the spotlight or go looking for trouble. I work an office job, do the 9-to-5 grind, and then I'm home. The most adventurous part of my day is usually deciding what TV show to binge next. Max, he's been my sidekick for a good 10 years. We're both getting on in years, so we take it slow, but we like it that way. So we're walking, right? The sun is about to set. Max is sniffing around, doing his thing, and I'm lost in my thoughts about what I'm going to make for dinner, when all of a sudden, Max stops dead in his tracks. I tug on the leash a bit, but he's not moving, just staring off into the trees. I follow his gaze, and that's when I see them. Not one, but three figures. They're tall, freakishly tall and thin. Their skin, if you can call it that, looked gray and sort of shimmered, like when heat rises off the pavement in the middle of summer. They had these big round heads, way too big for their bodies, and their eyes, man, their eyes were like these huge black almonds. Now, I've heard stories about people seeing things they can't explain out in these parts. Stories to tell around a campfire or to scare kids. But there I was, standing on the trail I've walked 100 times, looking at something straight out of a sci-fi movie. Max starts growling, this low, mean sound I've never heard him make before. He's an old dog, hasn't got a mean bone in his body, but he was ready to tear these things apart. And me? I'm standing there like an idiot, my brain trying to make sense of what I'm seeing. They don't move, just keep staring. It's like we're in this standoff and I don't know what to do. Run? Scream? I mean, what do you do when you come face to face with aliens? Because let's be real, that's what they had to be. Aliens. In Oklahoma. Then, one of them, the one in the middle, starts to move forward. It's not walking. Not really. More like gliding over the ground. It's getting closer, and Max is going nuts now. Barking his head off, but I can't move. I'm not scared, not exactly. It's more like I'm just stuck there. Like my feet decided this was a good time to grow roots. It stops, maybe 10 feet away from us. And I get this feeling, like it's trying to say something to me. Only there's no words. It's all in my head, this voice. It's clear as day, but not speaking. It's saying, don't be afraid. But here's the kicker. I wasn't afraid. It was like that voice, or whatever it was, just pushed all the fear out of me. And I'm just standing there, looking at this alien, and I start to feel like maybe this is supposed to happen. Like I was meant to be here, on this trail, at this exact moment. I turned around to look behind me at one point, and when I turned back, I couldn't see them anymore. And I'm left there with Max, who's suddenly all wagging tail and panning like nothing happened. And I'm wondering if I just lost my mind, or if this really just happened. Max is tugging on the leash, ready to keep going like we just saw a squirrel or something. Not three beings from who knows where. We reach the end of the trail, and I'm feeling a bit silly now. Must have been my imagination. It's gotta be. I mean, who sees aliens on a dog walk? So, I decide not to say anything to anyone. Days pass, and I'm doing my best to forget about the whole thing. But I can't. There's this feeling I have. Like when you know you've forgotten something important, but can't quite remember what it is. It's nagging at me, day and night. I start noticing little things, like how the TV flickers to static at exactly 10:13 p.m. every night, or how Max will sometimes stop and stare at a corner of the room, growling softly. And I've been having these dreams, vivid ones, where I'm standing on the trail and the sky is full of stars, so bright it's almost daylight. And in the dreams, I hear that voice again, the one that told me not to be afraid. I'm trying to keep it together, to keep going like everything's normal, but it's hard. It's like my senses have been cranked up to 11. I notice every shadow, every little noise. I've become jumpy, always looking over my shoulder. And it's not just me. Friends have started asking if I'm okay, saying I look tired, distracted. I just laugh it off, tell them work's been crazy. But I know it's more than that. I keep going back to the trail too. Can't seem to help myself. I go at different times, hoping to see, I don't know what, answers maybe? Or maybe just to prove to myself I'm not losing it. But every time, it's the same. Nothing happens. Until one evening, about 2 weeks after the first encounter. I'm there with Max and the sun is setting again, casting that same golden light through the trees. We reach the spot where we saw them, and I feel a chill. Not fear, just a kind of anticipation. And then it happens. The air changes, feels charged, electric. Max starts growling, that same low growl from before, and I feel it, that sense of someone watching me. I turn around slowly, and there they are, the same three figures, standing at the edge of the clearing. But this time, they're not alone. There's a ship. Or what I assume is a ship. It's nothing like I've ever seen before. All smooth and shiny. No seams, no rivets, nothing. And it's hovering there, not touching the ground, just floating. The middle one steps forward, the same one that communicated with me last time. And I hear the voice again, only this time it's clearer, stronger. "We have returned," it says, "for you." Now I know how this must sound. Like something out of a movie or a book. But I swear it's the truth. And I'm standing there with my old dog and these aliens. And I know this is it. This is the moment everything changes. They beckon me forward and I go. I don't know why. It's like I'm not in control of my feet. Max is beside me, quiet now. No more growling. I reach out and the world goes bright. So bright I have to close my eyes. And then, nothing. I can't see, can't hear, can't feel. I'm just floating, lost in this sea of light. When I come to, I'm lying on the trail, Max licking my face. The ship, the aliens, they're gone. But I know it wasn't a dream. It was real, all of it. And I've got to find out why. Why me? So that's where I'm at, looking for answers to questions I don't even know how to ask. So, this thing happened to me a while back. I've never really talked about it much. Not sure why. Guess I thought it wouldn't sound real. But here goes. It was at this old church I work at, just outside of Chicago. You know the type of church I'm talking about. Big stone walls, stained glass that's seen better days. Anyway, it was late, and I was there alone, which wasn't unusual. I had work to do. And that old-style building was the kind of place where daytime didn't make much of a difference. It always felt like dusk inside. I was in the back, tidying up some things when I heard this sound. It wasn't loud, but it caught my attention. Kind of like when you hear something and you're not sure if it was real or you imagined it. I figured it was just the building settling. Old places like that make noise, right? But then I heard it again. This time, it was unmistakable. A sort of scratching, scraping sound. It was coming from the main hall. I hesitated. It wasn't fear exactly, more like apprehension. But I've always believed that if you're scared of something, you face it head on. So, I went to check it out. As I walked into the hall, the first thing I noticed was the cold. It was a warm summer night, but the hall felt like it was in the middle of winter. The candles I had left burning were now out, like they had been snuffed by a strong wind. But the air was still, dead still. I looked around trying to find where the noise was coming from. That's when I saw it. The shadows near the altar were darker than they should be, even with the lights out. And they were moving, kind of undulating in a way that didn't make any sense. I took a step closer, trying to see better. That's when it happened. The darkness, it kind of stretched out towards me, like fingers, or no, more like tendrils. I stopped dead in my tracks. I should have run, but I didn't. It was then that I saw it clearly for the first time. This creature emerging from the shadows. It wasn't human. Couldn't be. It was all angles and edges like someone had drawn a figure that came alive. Its eyes, if you could call them that, were like burning coals. It didn't move normally. It was smooth and kind of jerky at the same time. It stared at me, and I stared back. I couldn't move. I couldn't even think. There was just this sense of wrongness, like it shouldn't exist. But it did, and it was there, in my church. Then it moved or sort of flowed towards me, and I finally found the strength to back away. I'm not ashamed to admit I was now scared. Scared in a way I've never been before. But before it could reach me, it stopped. It was like it hit an invisible wall or something. There I was, expecting, well, I don't know what I was expecting. Something bad, I guess. But it just stopped and hovered there. Its form was unclear, shifting in and out of the darkness. For a moment, everything was silent. I could feel my own heartbeat, the only sound in the entire church. Then the thing made a sound. Not a growl or anything cliche like that. It was more like a whisper, but not in words, more like a feeling that washed over me, made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. I tried to respond, to say something, anything, but my voice was gone. I just stood there, mouth open, soundless. The thing, the creature, it tilted its head like it was curious. That's when I realized it was as surprised as I was, surprised I could see it maybe, or surprised I hadn't run screaming. The stillness broke when a draft moved through the church. The creature recoiled. It was strange. Watching it react to something as normal as a breeze gave me a bit of courage, though. Like maybe this thing wasn't all-powerful. Maybe it could actually be hurt, or scared, or something. That's when I decided to move. Not towards it, but to the side, slowly. I wanted to get to the light switches by the door, flood the place with light. Seemed like a good idea at the time. I took one step, then another. It watched me, but it didn't move to stop me. Maybe it couldn't move any closer. Who knows? I made it to the wall and fumbled for the switches. My fingers were numb, clumsy. but I managed to flip them on. The sudden light was blinding, and I squinted against the glare. When my eyes adjusted, I looked back at the altar. It was gone. No sign of it. No sign it had ever been there. But the feeling in the room was different now. I took a deep breath, trying to steady myself. It was over, or so I thought. The rest of the night passed without incident. I didn't get any more work done, though. I just sat there, in a pew, staring at the altar, waiting, watching. Nothing happened. When dawn broke, I felt silly, like I had imagined the whole thing. But that kind of fear, it doesn't come from imagination. It's like it etches itself into you, leaves a mark that doesn't fade. The next few nights, I found myself staying later at the church, half out of duty, half out of a morbid kind of curiosity. I'd go over the events of that night in my head, trying to make sense of it. But nothing out of the ordinary happened again, or so I thought at first. It was small stuff that I started to notice, things out of place, strange marks on the old wooden floor that hadn't been there the day before, and the feeling of cold spots in the middle of a room on a hot day. Then the congregation started to talk. They'd feel uneasy at times in the church, or they'd see something out of the corner of their eye. I couldn't tell them what I'd seen, but I knew it was the same thing, the same presence I had encountered. It was lingering. So I did something I never thought I'd do. I decided to confront it. I decided to stay in the church overnight, to seek it out. That night I sat in the darkness, waiting. And sure enough, as the clock ticked towards 3 in the morning, the air shifted. I didn't see it this time, but I felt it, a pressure all around me. I spoke to it, told it I wasn't afraid, that it had no power here. There was a moment when the pressure seemed to increase, suffocating. But then it was like a release, and then nothing. It was gone. The next morning, the church felt different, lighter. I can't explain it, and maybe I don't need to. Whatever it was, it had moved on. And the church, our little sanctuary, had been left in peace. That's the whole story, or at least as much as I understand. I don't know if it'll come back, but I'm not scared anymore. I've seen what I needed to see, faced what I needed to face, and now life goes on. All right, so let me tell you about this wild thing that happened to me. It's honestly still hard to believe. I'm just an average guy, nothing special about me. I work in IT, love hiking, and have a pretty quiet life. So, a few months back, I decided to buy a house. I found this sweet deal on a place in Vermont, USA. The catch? It was right next to a graveyard. Now, I'm not superstitious or anything, but even I had to admit it was a bit creepy. The house itself was old, like really old, but it had character and it was a lot of house, cheaper than my price range. I figured I could deal with it for a few years, then sell and move on. The first few weeks were uneventful, just settling in, fixing stuff. The graveyard was quiet, obviously, but it had this old-world charm. I often found myself walking along its paths, reading the tombstones. One evening, something bizarre happened. It was around 7 p.m., the sun was setting, and the graveyard was getting that twilight look. I was in my living room, trying to get Netflix to work when I heard this noise. It was like a tapping, but not regular, more erratic. I figured maybe it was a branch or something. But when I looked outside, there was nothing there. No wind, nothing that could explain the noise. So I go back to my couch, and that's when I hear it again. This time it's louder, more insistent. It's coming from the back of the house, near the kitchen. I'm thinking maybe an animal got in, or there's some issue with the pipes. I grab a flashlight. The house had these little quirks, like lights not working in some parts, and head to the kitchen. The kitchen is dark, and the moment I step in, the tapping stops. It's dead silent. I'm standing there in the middle of my dark kitchen, feeling like a total idiot, when I hear something that makes my skin crawl. It's a whisper, like someone's right there with me, but it's not words, just this low murmuring sound. I freak out, not gonna lie. I flash the light around, but there's no one. The windows are closed, the doors are locked. I'm trying to make sense of it, thinking maybe it's the house settling, or I'm just tired and imagining things. But then, the whispering starts again, and this time, it's coming from the living room. I slowly walk back, flashlight in hand, heart pounding. The living room is empty, but the whispering is louder now, and it feels like it's all around me. I'm standing there, trying to figure out what to do, when I see something that makes my blood run cold. There's this shadow, right there on the wall. It's not mine, it's too tall, too thin. It's just standing there, and I can feel it watching me. I know how crazy it sounds, but in that moment I was sure it wasn't just a shadow. It was something else, something not right. I don't know what came over me, but I decided to confront it. I stepped towards it, flashlight aimed right at it, and that's when it moves. It's like it slides along the wall, not like a shadow, but like it has a will of its own. I follow it, heart racing, as it moves towards the back of the house, towards the graveyard. It leads me to the back door, and I can see it there, on the path that leads to the graves. I'm standing at the threshold, looking out into the dark graveyard, and the shadow is just there, at the edge of the light, like it's waiting for me. That's when I hear the whispering again, but this time, it's not just murmurs, it's calling my name, over and over in this haunting melodic tone. I'm frozen, torn between terror and this weird, compelling urge to follow it. But then, as suddenly as it started, it stops. The shadow vanishes, the whispering goes silent, and I'm just standing there, alone in the dark, wondering if I've completely lost my mind. Then, after that first encounter, things just got weirder around the house. I couldn't shake off what I had seen and heard that night. Every creak and groan of the old house made me jump. But nothing happened for a few days, and I started to think maybe it was just a one-off thing. You know, a trick of the light or something. Then, one night, it happened again. I was in bed, half asleep, when I heard that same tapping sound. This time, it was coming from my bedroom window. I remember thinking, no way, this can't be happening again. But there it was, clear as day. I hesitated for a bit, but curiosity got the better of me. I had to see what it was. I got out of bed and walked over to the window. Outside, the moon was bright, casting this eerie glow over the graveyard. I didn't see anything at first, but then, out of the corner of my eye, I saw movement by one of the tombstones. It was hard to make out, but it looked like a figure, kind of hunched over. I'm watching this figure, trying to figure out what it's doing, when it suddenly stands up straight and looks right at me. I couldn't see its face or anything, but I felt like it could see me, like it was staring right into my soul. It was a chilling moment, like I was connected to this thing, whatever it was. Then, it starts moving towards my house, slow and steady. I'm glued to the spot, heart pounding. It's getting closer and closer, and I can see it more clearly now. It's not a person. It's too tall and thin, and it moves in this weird, jerky way. As it gets closer to the house, I start to feel this overwhelming sense of dread. It's like the air is getting thicker, harder to breathe. I want to run, to hide, but I can't move. I'm just standing there, watching as this thing comes right up to my window. It's right there, just on the other side of the glass, and I can finally see it clearly. It's like nothing I've ever seen before. Its skin is pale, almost translucent, and it has these deep, sunken eyes that are just empty. There's no emotion, no life in them. It's like looking into a void. We're just staring at each other, and I feel like it's trying to tell me something, but I can't understand. Then, it raises its hand and places it on the glass. Its fingers are long and thin, and as it touches the window, the glass starts to frost over, spreading out from where its hand is. I'm freaking out, thinking the glass is going to break, but then, just as suddenly as it appeared, it vanishes. One second it's there, the next it's gone. The frost on the window starts to fade, and I'm left standing there shaking, trying to process what just happened. I didn't sleep at all that night. I kept thinking about that thing, what it was, why it came to me. The next day, I started looking into the history of the house and the graveyard, trying to find any clues, any explanations for what I was experiencing. But nothing really surfaced, and I'm still left dangling, trying to figure it out. Either way, I've started to think about moving sooner than later. We'll see how it all plays out. I'm in the Navy. Been at it for a good few years and seen a bunch of stuff out at sea, but nothing like what I'm about to tell you. I'm stationed on a destroyer, doing the usual patrols along the Pacific coast. That's where this whole thing went down. This was like a few months back. We were out on a routine mission, nothing out of the ordinary. The sea was calm, sky clear, you know, just a regular day. I was on watch up on the bridge scanning the horizon. That's when I saw something weird. So, there's this thing in the water a good distance off, but not too far. At first, I thought it was a whale or something. But man, I was wrong. It had this long, serpentine body, sorta like a giant snake. But it was moving weird, undulating through the water, in a way that was unnerving, to say the least. I called it in, and a few guys came up to take a look. We all just stood there watching this thing. It wasn't just swimming. It was like it was showing off, breaching the surface, then diving back down. Its skin was this dark, murky color, hard to describe, but it glistened in the sunlight. The head was something else. It had these massive jaws, filled with rows of sharp teeth. We were trying to figure out what to do when it got closer to the ship. I mean, this thing was easily as long as the destroyer, maybe longer. It circled us a couple of times, real slow, like it was checking us out. The whole ship was on alert, everyone trying to get a look at this monster from the deep. Then, it did something I'll never forget. It came up right alongside the ship, so close I could see the details on its skin, these weird, almost rune-like patterns. It let out this sound, not really a roar, but this deep, resonating noise that you could feel in your bones. Sure, so after that moment, the atmosphere on the ship just shifted. Everyone was silent. You could have heard a pin drop. The creature, after making that bone-chilling sound, started to move around the ship again. It was like it was studying us. Not just the ship, but us, the crew. I was terrified that it was going to try and take the ship out of commission. The guys around me were a mix of fascinated and terrified. We're trained to handle tough situations, but this was out of anyone's playbook. I kept my eyes locked on the creature, trying to understand what it was and what it wanted. Its movements were almost mesmerizing. It dove under the ship, and for a moment we lost sight of it. That's when the real panic set in. We didn't know where it was or if it was coming back, or if it was about to try and topple us. Then, it resurfaced on the other side of the ship. It felt like it was showing off, like it knew we were watching, and it was putting on a performance. It wasn't just its size that was astounding. It was also incredibly fast and agile in the water. As it circled us, I noticed something else. There were markings on its body, not just random patterns, but they looked almost like symbols or writing. I couldn't make heads or tails of them, but they radiated slightly. Or maybe it was a reflection of some kind. This wasn't just a creature. It felt like something ancient, something that had been around way longer than any of us. I was still trying to understand what we were seeing, when the captain made the call to try and follow it, to see where it was going. It was a risky move given the size of this thing, but at this point I think the captain's thoughts were national security and what this thing might be able to do to ships. We started to move, keeping a safe distance, but the creature didn't seem to mind. It almost felt like it was leading us somewhere. We followed it for a while as it took us further out to sea, into waters that were deeper and darker than near the coast. The whole time, it kept surfacing, diving, and making that deep sound. It was communicating, but with who or what, we didn't know. Then, as the sun started to set, it led us to this area where the water was almost a deep blue-black, and it was eerily calm. The creature stopped and floated on the surface, as if waiting for something. That's when we saw them. More of these creatures, emerging from the depths. They were smaller than the first one, but just as majestic. They gathered around our ship, not threateningly, but with a kind of curiosity. It was like they were a family or a pod or something, and the one we'd been following was introducing us. The crew was in awe. We'd stumbled upon something incredible, a species of sea creature unknown to science. something you'd only hear about in myths or sailors' tales. We took as many notes and observations as we could, but we didn't have the equipment to document them properly. This was a discovery of a lifetime, and here we were, unprepared. Then the creatures began to dive back into the depths. The large one, the one that led us here, gave one last look at our ship, made that deep sound again, and then disappeared into the ocean. The captain decided it was best to head back. We had no idea what we had just witnessed, but we knew it was important. That encounter changed a lot of things for me. How I see the world, the ocean, and the unknown creatures that live in it. So yeah, that's my story. It sounds unbelievable, I know, but it happened. Makes you wonder what else is out there in the deep, undiscovered and waiting to be found. Let me know if you want to hear more about what happened after we got back. The story doesn't end there. I remember that it was an insanely hot day when this happened to me. It was 1975 and I was only 12 at the time, but I'll never forget it because it's what made me believe in cryptids and the supernatural. I was at my best friend's house. His name was Jim, and he lived on a farm in rural Ohio. His parents were divorced, so he spent half of his time with his mom and the other half with his dad. He had a huge yard that backed up to a forest preserve. We were bored out of our minds because it was summer vacation, and there wasn't anything to do, so we decided to go exploring in the woods. We brought along some snacks and drinks, just in case we got hungry or thirsty. The woods were pretty dense, but not too thick that you couldn't walk through them easily enough, but it was still nice and cool in there. We walked around for a while looking for squirrels or rabbits, but all we saw were birds and bugs, mostly. We came upon this creek that ran through the preserve, so we followed it upstream for a bit. The further we walked, the more I started to feel like someone was watching us, but I shrugged it off as my imagination. I remember we came upon a huge tree that had fallen across the creek, so that gave us a nice bridge where you could walk across without getting wet. As we were walking across this tree, I felt like we were really exposed and that someone was breathing down my neck. But of course, when I turned around to look, there was nothing there. Just trees and bushes. We kept walking for another 10 minutes or so, when Jim suddenly stopped dead in his tracks and pointed straight ahead of him with his mouth wide open in fear. His eyes were as big as dinner plates, and he looked like he had seen a ghost or something worse. When I looked ahead of him, all I saw at first was what looked like an old man sitting on a rock by the edge of the creek. But as we stared at him for what seemed like hours, but was really only seconds, he stood up and revealed himself to be much taller than I had originally thought. He was at least 6.5 or 7 feet tall, and very broad-shouldered and muscular. His skin was dark brown, but you couldn't see a lot of it, because he had long, stringy black hair all over his body, and that hung down from his head to his shoulders. From that distance, he looked like he hadn't shaved in years. He then looked right at us with eyes that were as black as coal, but didn't say a word. He just stared. I wanted to run, but my feet felt like they were glued to the ground. We now knew that what we were seeing was not a person. Then Jim spoke up and said, "What are you?" The creature didn't answer him. It just kept staring at us without moving a muscle. We stood there for what seemed like forever, when finally Jim broke the silence by saying, "Okay then, we're going now." And I followed him as he slowly turned around and started walking away from this thing, eventually taking off and running as fast as we could, without looking back over our shoulders. We only had a few hundred yards until we were out of the forest, and then it was a clear shot to Jim's back door, and his mom right inside in the kitchen. It's all I could think about. Once we made it inside safely, his mom took one look at us and asked what had happened. I guess the fear on our faces was obvious. We assured her we were fine and were just racing back for fun. We sat on the couch for a few minutes to decompress. Eventually, now that we were back in the house, back in reality, we both started to think that the encounter was just a figment of our imaginations. I mean, how could something like that really be in the woods? We started to regain our confidence, and about a half an hour later, we told his mom that we were going to go back into the woods and look for birds and rabbits, but not to worry because we'd be close by. She said okay. but you better be careful because it's getting late. We didn't tell her about what we had seen because we knew she wouldn't believe us anyway, or obviously, not let us go back out there. We went back into the woods that night with flashlights and lots of courage. We looked for this guy for hours but never saw him again. I asked Jim if he really believed that what he had seen was real after spending all day looking for this guy without finding anything or anyone again. He said yes, so I decided that if he was right, there was no way this guy could have been a normal human being. He had to have been something else, something supernatural. Now that I'm older and have had many years to think about it, I believe that what Jim and I saw was an Ohio dogman. It all makes sense now. Our area of Ohio is just south of Michigan, where I read that the dogman was first seen. I believe that there are more of these creatures out there, that they're all over the place, and that they have been here since the beginning of time. I've read a lot about cryptids over the years, and one thing that they all seem to have in common is that they seem to be drawn to areas with high supernatural activity, just like ghosts and UFOs. Ohio seems to be one of the hotbeds for these things, so it wouldn't surprise me to hear that someone else has seen one of these around here. I'd love to hear from anyone who has. I know this story isn't very detailed, but it's all I can remember after 40 years. It may not have happened exactly like I remembered it, but I am 100% sure that it happened nonetheless.